Excuse me. Welcome back to the AIE podcast. The mic, I know it sounds kind of better. I don't know if it sounds better to you, but it is quieter. So I am recording at my PC right now because we are doing another NBA podcast. That's kind of the theme for this week, maybe even next week, but I hope you are okay with that. And we're doing a podcast on people that, like, wow, they made the NBA, all NBA teams and snubs for the teams. And then, I'm going to get hate for it, but I'm really pissed off right now because I posted today about Chris Paul and Devin Booker. We'll get to them. And them making it. I'm like, oh, Suns are back next year. Six people reacted laughing at me. Quite rude, to be honest, but it's all good. So, firstly, let's talk about players. Let's first talk about a player who I think, like, wow, he made it to the first team. Jason Tatum. I'm not saying he's bad or anything. Jason Tatum has played great. 27 points a game, 8 rebounds. He has played amazing. Don't get me wrong. This season especially, probably one of his best seasons, I'd say. It is his best season by far. But I don't see how this year he's really that much better from last. Where last year, he didn't even make the team. This year, he's in the first team. And you know, I sound like a hater, but, like, seriously, this year, actually, he's taken the most shots per game at 1,564. Thanks to Basketball Reference. Hecking love this website. Literally, he's taking the most shots, and he also has the most misses. And I know you're like, oh, he's taking the most shots, and he has the most misses. That's fine. But he doesn't even have the most made shots. That's DeMar. We love DeMar. Midrange god. But Tatum, efficiency-wise, shooting pretty okay. 35% from three, 52% from the field. He's playing fine. But on 20 shots a game, same as last year, same field goal percentage. Actually, his three-point percentage has gone down this year. His field goal percentage has slightly gone up. But there's nothing here that indicates he's gotten that much better. Like, I see why he made the All-NBA teams. But the first team? This doesn't include playoff performances. It shouldn't. If it does, then that's my bad. But these All-NBA teams don't. And has he improved since last year? Yeah, kind of. But in a similar amount of games, he only played 12 less games last year. He hasn't really played any better. And he hasn't needed to. But I don't think it deserves an All-NBA first team. I know. People are going to start like, oh, you hate the Celtics. Love Celtics. Shout out to Gino. He's a big Celtics fan. But I don't know. I don't think he's there yet. Like, I really don't think so. He's good, but this good? No. No way in hell will you tell me he's that good. Now, moving on to a snub. Excuse me. I thought Donovan Mitchell had a great year. And I think he deserved it more than someone like Chris Paul. We'll get to him. And I'm like, oh my god, Christian, but you're a Suns fan. How could you say such a thing? Let's compare their stats. Let's start with Chris Paul. I'm getting it up right now. My bad. Chris Paul this season played worse than last, and last season he made the second team, so third team, yeah, kind of deserved, but he scored 14 points a game, 15, he scored almost 17 last game. His free throw percentage dropped by 10%. His assist went up from 9 to 11, don't make a joke about that, but that's what it went up by. And his shooting went massively down. 3-point percentage went from 40% to 0.31. 31%. Field goal percentage went up, but percentages all go down with an increased amount of minutes per game, too. So, just saying. And I know his impact on the game. I love Chris Paul as much as the next guy, but outside of those clutch moments, Chris Paul, he is setting up his team more, but his efficiency has gone down. I think, you know, I'm not a fan of what Patrick Beverley said, but it's kind of true that you're not really basing your game plan on Chris Paul anymore. When he goes to bed at night, he's not going to be thinking about, oh, the matchup with the Suns. They're not scary because of Chris Paul. You'd probably think of a guy like Devin Booker, guy like Ayton. I know Ayton's gotten a lot of hate as an Ayton fan. It kind of hurts, but I think he should stay. Yeah. Guy like Chris Paul, I don't know. Now let's compare him to a guy like Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell. This season, on pretty much the same minutes, shooting, free throw percentage gone up by 1%, went from 84% to 85%, pretty much. So, that's odd. Turnovers sit around the same, 3. Assists didn't really go up. True rebounding didn't really go. Most of his statistics did the same, but I'd say they're better than CP3's. And his impact on his team is way larger. And it might not always be about that, but I think for this it is. He has a way larger impact, and it makes no sense to me that he doesn't make the team over a guy like Chris Paul. He pushed that team that first last year, but this year gone through a lot more hurdles to a fourth or fifth seed. I think it was the fifth seed. Yeah, to the fifth seed. And that guy deserves it. Ah, next. I know you might be asking, like, Giannis, Jokic, how is Jokic over Embiid? Well, of course, Jokic is MVP. But you might also be asking, why is Jokic the MVP over a guy like Embiid? Well, let's start with the fact. Embiid was the top scorer this year. No one in contention of that in the points per game category. But let's look at Jokic. Nikola Jokic. Jokic had 27 points a game, which is 6th in the NBA. Only 5 spots behind him. Then, let's look at assists. Jokic is 8th in assists. Of course, his game is more based around it. But come on. This guy is insane. Even, it is mainly, though, and he's also 2nd in rebounding, advanced statistics, which we won't really dive into. But he's the number one player in win shares per 48 minutes. He's the number one player on win shares, which is, it's pretty much offensive. It's kind of similar to offensive rating, but I don't want to be the one to explain it. I don't think I'm very good at explaining things like that, but, you know, he's topping so many advanced metrics, and, you know, that's why he deserved it. Deserves to be on the All-NBA first team. Devin, 4th in MVP voting, okay? Stand out here. Don't even question why he was on the first team. Deserved to be there. Giannis also deserved to be there. I know you could slot Embiid to the fourth, but he deserves to be a center. And he deserves the recognition as one. So Giannis had an amazing year. Win shares was 2nd in the NBA, 2 only Jokic. And yeah, I think those two guys, 100%. The rest of the three, Tatum, I think, could go 2nd team, could go 3rd. Booker and Luka. You know, Luka, I hate that guy, but he's a baller. And Devin, great season, as I already said. Next, for the All-NBA 2nd team, I think Steph and Ja deserve to be there. Some people might switch Ja and Devin, but I think Devin just had such a good year on the best team in the NBA. By record, not saying they're the best, okay? Don't harass me. Then, I think the DeMar choice, this year specifically, makes sense. I think DeMar had a standout year. probably his best year ever. Yeah, it is. And I think specifically where I really think DeMar could, like, make that jump, again, is three-point shooting. He only took 2 per game, but he brought his efficiency up to 35%. I know he doesn't take them often, but for someone like that, he really could start taking more. And maybe that'll get him to the first team next year, but I think it's understandable why he was here on the second team. I don't think there's any real shooting guards or small forwards that deserve to be here more than him this year. Great season, 28 points a game, 5 assists. Turnovers, 2 per game, kind of his average. And just big improvements offensively. More shots were taken, but the only, and this kind of compares to his, 2016-2017, where he averaged a similar amount of points. So I think solid year for them, for him. Then KD, he had a great year. He's always going to have a great year, but he played 55 games. And yeah, I'm not really going to question the choice. I think the All-NBA second team, very solid. All guys who I think deserve to be there. We'll talk about more snubs later. But those guys all deserve to be there. Okay. I love Trae Young as much as the next guy, but that guy should not be there. Come on. I know I'm going to first bring up the turnovers because he has 4 a game. And I know you're like, what? But, you know, primary ball handler and all that. Luka does have 0.5 more, but if you look at it that way, Luka's doing way more than Trae Young. He is carrying his team a lot harder, and he's doing, I'd say, a lot more for his team, setting up his team a lot better than Trae Young is. Okay. Luka. Okay. I just, by the eye test, Luka draws way more pressure than Trae Young. And I think that is where, obviously, why Luka is considered higher than Trae. But I don't think Trae really deserves to be there in the All-NBA third team. Not, of course, I said we're not really including playoffs. But seriously, Luka was exposed as playoffs. And even if it doesn't matter, it's obviously going to be in the voters' minds slightly. Probably not giving them a bias. But in that 5-game series, he had 6 turnovers a game on 18% 3-point shooting. Come on. Excuse me. He had 15 points a game. He had 6 turnovers a game. That guy really had a crap series. That, he can't have that. And him being on the third team, that's kind of questionable. Another thing is, everyone does talk about his 3-point shooting, but it's really not, it's okay, it's good. He's a 38% shooter, don't get me wrong, but a lot of the attempts don't look pretty, and it's not ever really going to win a title. And I do kind of have a bias against him. Love Trae, but I really don't think, the guards who I think deserve the spot more, I think the guards on the All-NBA third team, there were better guards in the NBA this season than them. Donovan Mitchell, I would say, comes in, as I already said. But now, let me move to other snubs. You know what? No. Let's first talk about LeBron. LeBron made the team because, well, he did play only 56 games. But come on. This guy, insane season. 30 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. He almost carried the team to the playoffs. They didn't make the playoffs, but he had a really good year. Even better than the year before. And this is his first 30-point season since 2007. This was a great LeBron year. Deserved to be there. Kat deserved to be there. He also had an amazing season. And Jimmy Butler, come on, Jimmy Buckets, don't disrespect my man. Great season. Another just 21 points per game, great shooting percentages, and I think just in general, he really made his team so much better. And I think that Porter saw that. Porter saw how great Jimmy was. And I think with Jimmy, it's not really a statistical thing, but the more little things he does defensively, he is so great. And those things aren't really seen by most viewers, like myself, who sees it, not like you, plebs. But seriously, I think that Jimmy Butler, great selection, but here's the issue. Obviously, Trae Young, statistically great, but I find the issue being defensively, he is the biggest liability. The NBA, as I talked about, defense needs more respect. And a lot of these guys can defend pretty okay. I think everyone on the first team improved defensively. Luka, okay, he's kind of crap on defense. Don't get me wrong. But they were able to manage it. Beat the Suns, okay? Able to manage Luka's a little questionable, you know, defense. But Luka deserves to be there. No question. Devin improved. Jason Tatum, defensively, really improved. Him, I think he should be on the second team, but I don't really know who would replace him, so him being in the first team, fine. Defensively, he played great. Offensively, always a standout. Everyone here, especially the guards. Curry hasn't been abused all season because his defense is pretty good. Ja, very athletic, can keep up. Chris Paul, it's been a little shaky as he's grown older. At 37. 37-year-old Chris Paul has had some awful playoff games. His last three. Yeah. But Trae Young, he is really bad. Let me get the stats for Trae Young. Okay, the Hawks' offensive rating, defensive rating, with him on the floor is 114.7. Their defensive rating when he's off it is 105.7. So the way it works is that for offensive rating, it's how many points. So 100, just by assumption. So if the team plays without him on defense, they're scoring 105.7 points. When he's on the floor, they score 115. That's a 10-point differential. 10 off one guy. Next. On a scale on a statistic thing done by Sportscasting in February of this year, he ranked 245 out of 260 players on defense. 245 out of 250 qualified players. Sorry. He's that bad on defense. And his offense, of course, hides it. And the best players, you know, best players should be able to guard both sides. But Trae Young kind of made up for it for last year's playoff run and had a pretty good season. But defensively, he's the biggest liability. And there are guys who should just be here instead. It's mind-boggling. It really is. That he's here, but how bad he is defensively. A lot of other guards are quite bad, but I think they don't really have the same weaknesses. Kyrie is pretty bad, but he's 6'3". Harden's pretty bad, but he's bigger. Dame's pretty bad, but he's still bigger. Trae Young is so small. He is tiny, okay? Don't get me wrong. He is tiny. So, yeah. I think the selections were good for the most part. And it's kind of hard for me to find people who I think could have replaced. I think this season, I'd say most players perform to where they're supposed to be or better. I'd say that these All-NBA teams aren't really the only players who I think could have made it but didn't. Guys like Pascal Siakam, he could have made it, but I think the Raptors, he didn't really like super step up, so I see why he didn't. Guys like Kyrie and Harden didn't make it, but you know, that Nets team, a little shaky, some would say. Westbrook, I don't think is, he's not going to make it, I think, ever again. Might be an all-star, but making it again, I don't think it's happening. And let's check. Yeah, I think that's really it. I think this year, solid year. Guys stepped up, but I think we're kind of where we expected to be. The Suns are expected to do well. Everyone in the West who's there did as well as kind of expected, except the Lakers, of course. But this year, a lot of excitement. I have a lot of excitement, especially for next year. New draft, new players. And I wouldn't be surprised, though, if a guy like Zion, he comes back. He could make a big impact. A big impact next year. And guys like Cade Cunningham could sneak in. Or we could see the return of some players. And I'm really excited for that. I think that you should be, too. This season, this upcoming season, it's looking really promising for the NBA. And I don't know. I'd say that great year all around. Sorry, let me correct myself on the Pascal Siakam thing. He did make... Wait. Am I looking at the right team? Nope, he didn't make it. MB looking at the wrong one. He could have made it, as I said. But I think the all-NBA teams usually focus more on positions, but I think this year really had the best players filling out every slot with guys like LeBron put a power forward, Jimmy slotting up, DeMar slotting to the small forward, KD to the power forward. It moved up, and then also with the guards, you have a guy like Steph and Ja on the second team, both point guards, and guys like Chris Paul, Trae Young, both point guards on the third team. Those, honestly though, the only team here I would trust is the All-NBA first team, because this could actually work. NBA second team and third team, they could work, but two small guards, quite easy to abuse on both sides. For the second team, it won't be as noticeable, but you have three guys I wouldn't say are the greatest defenders of all time, with Steph, Ja, and DeMar. With the third team defensively, solid. Except for those two guards. Those. So, yeah. Thank you for listening to the AA podcast. I hope you got my unbiased opinion. I do feel, really, that Chris Paul doesn't really deserve to be there, but I hope you can form your own opinion. Message me any of your opinions. Disagree with me, agree with me. I really don't care. Just do whatever. So, yeah, thank you for listening to the podcast. Peace out, gangers, and bye, guys.